The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami. Dutiampi Tatiampi Sabha. I turn to the Holy Order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. So just a reminder that we record Sunday morning groups and make them available to monthly donors. What shall we look at this morning? Penny?
I could look at a process I was just looking at on a call. And I kind of want to out the process so that I see it more clearly. So we send in an issue to the guide.
Yes,
for the email class, and received a response, which is in the form of questions. Mm-hmm. And then a little follow-up today from the guide about don't try to answer the questions. Or don't approach this as just trying to answer the questions. And so what I've been watching is this really interesting process of, well then what? You know, mm-hmm. Well then, if I'm not supposed to answer the questions, then how do I deal with the questions? And, you know, seeing it, this is all from conditioning about how we do this. Uh-huh. And then this morning, I think I read that before I sat. Anyway, I sat, and I was, you know, fairly present, and I could just hear this conditioned push to, okay, so the insights are supposed to drop in, you know, and they didn't, and then the sense of well then what, you know, and it's and what I'm seeing is that's the interesting thing to watch.
So just looking at this email class where we were given an opportunity to present an issue to the guide, and we have the encouragement, don't try to answer the question. And you see how conditioned mind wants to take that assignment and answer the questions. And so in that watching this morning, that desire to have an answer to the question, what you really saw was the process that goes on with the assignment is what's really good to see.
Yeah, there's such a sense of urgency about, well, I got to come up with something because I've got to write something on Tuesday morning, you know. And so even as I'm saying this to you, that I'm seeing that by being invited into this process, we're invited to watch everything, including all the stuff that goes on as we try to do the process. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. there's this little message in the back, but yes, but by Tuesday morning, I have to have something in response to those questions. Uh-huh. That can't be answers to those questions. You know what I mean? I have to type something on Tuesday morning. And
there's something about a deadline.
There's something about a deadline. And what if, you know, what if insights don't come through? Then what am I supposed to write? And just wow, it's just so interesting to just see the... well, it's not quite turmoil, but it might be by Monday night.
Well, it just arose as it's, let's see, does this feel so? It's like you get caught up in the goal and lose that being able to trust life. Mm-hmm. You know, as you said, like... You know, it's a whole process, and even if there's not an answer, that's part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I suppose one could say, well, this is the process that's been going on, and that's what the response would be on Monday night. Who knows? Uh-huh. Who knows? But it's just been interesting to just watch this happen, and what it feels like a kind of a relief is getting it, that watching this happen is part of what we're doing. Uh-huh. Is actually what we're doing.
What we're doing.
And not just finding my next response to this particular sequence that has been set up. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Boy, it's hard to trust that.
So just really seeing it's not it's not the what, mm-hmm. but the how.
Yeah.
And just and seeing how it really goes against the conditioned pattern to have answers. And have the right answers.
That's right.
And to have them on demand.
And on demand, yeah. Yes. So it's just that's what I'm seeing.
Sounds like a full UMA class already.
Thank you.
Rebecca.
But, the moment that was brought up, I'm looking at something around the UMA class. There was this delighted, oh yeah, we can look at that. You know, so it was kind of interesting, like somehow that had gotten compartmentalized, like, you know, that's the recording and listening and email and online thing, you know. And so it's like, well, yeah, we can look at it everywhere and all the time. So I was really grateful for that. So what I saw around the question, so the question that was put to me was, how do you support yourself in being present? And I just saw my whole life in the process that ensued. Uh-huh. So it was, you know, I don't really support myself. I don't. I could be doing this and that, and I should be setting things on my watch. And that's true, because it was that's true. I don't support myself. So there was the filter that the question was really saying, well, how do you support yourself? You know, like it implied was you're not supporting yourself.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So you just saw that karmic bent to take the filter. It's what a filter. To take that question and to just filter it through this particular orientation, which is
Rebecca.
Get out my organizer and fix this.
Yes.
And here's the plan.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the duality jump to the other side was, well, I did move to a monastery, and I am doing an email class, and I am recording, you know, so then it was like, wait a minute. Then it was, I do a lot to support myself. I do this and this and then, you know, and all this. And it was like, and I'm just watching this, you know, this back and forth duality jump, you know, going on. And, so there it was. So thank God I had reread that encouragement about how to work with these koans, because I was all ready to answer the question, you know, but I had been reminded that no, we're not doing that necessarily. And so then I just kept watching and recording, and I forget what exactly dropped in, but somehow what dropped in was, we're saving a human being here. That's what we're doing. We're saving a human being. That's really all we're doing in this lifetime. You know?
We're saving a human being. Mm-hmm. And this is another support to save a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the phrase that dropped in was this, in the 70s, we used to sing this church song where there was a line that said, Jesus reduced me to love. Mm. And that's what dropped in when I was seeing the duality of, well, here we do this, and then we do that, and then, because then there was the plan, organized, let's fix this on it. And then it was no, and then we went deeper, and it was, we're saving a human being. And what I saw was, it's really all about loving this human being. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the way to support presence, is just to live in love with the human being. Mm-hmm. And then it can't help but save all sentient beings, we can, you know, we can imagine. And that there is something about that line, reduce me to love. Like, let's get beyond this. Let's begin whatever the next level is. Let's get beyond all of the fixing and the doing and the dualities, and we can go through the whole bamboozle book, right? Get beyond that and just be reduced to love.
So working with this karma and just getting to that place, reduce me to love. And to just, you know, having that really resonate. Beyond that place of the dualities, beyond the place of I gotta fix this, you know, what's wrong, what's right, what's wrong, what's right, and just reduce me to love.
And of course, in that there is no me.
And in that there is no me. And as you started started with the I gotta fix, you know, I gotta get the answer, I gotta fix this, and as you said, you know, I is never gonna do that. And so just sitting with it and having more drop in, it reduced it to that place of no I.
You know, and as you're saying that, I'm realizing that coincidentally, what happened this morning was I got a bunch of signs, you know, and really, right when waking up was happening, there was this insight, and I grabbed my recorder and I recorded. So all of those things are happening, but it's not coming from a place of, okay, I've got to support this person in waking and being present. It's so different from that. It just is happening. Like, I didn't plan to do any of that. You know, I didn't plan it. That's the, you know, kind of the operative phrase. And I didn't even realize that until you reflected that. Oh, well, by George, it's happening. You know? And who knew? You know, and it feels like that Rumi quote. I can't remember it exactly, but I think of it all the time about when something like, we'll say, oh, well, that's certainly not how I imagined it would be, or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it feels like to be surprised.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting from it, just the surprise, you know, to be open to receive their surprise. Yeah. And I'm reminded in the instructions, those little quote marks around, let it drop in. And the guy's saying something like, yes, those quote marks are necessary. And I project, you know, having that experience this morning of that dropping in.
So fun. Yeah. And happening, arising in the context of Sangha like this morning, it's just like being invited to the best party ever.
Wow. Yeah, and the invitation, you know, arriving in group, and then the invitation was extended that, I can talk about the, you know, the email class.
Yeah.
And it's just like arriving at the best party in the world.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott.
It does feel like a party, I agree. And I just love Sangha. I just love how, Ken, just I think of this experience last week where it's just like, we're all one. This is all one waking up. You know, and just heard that phrase of reduce me to love just felt like that tuning fork go dong, you know. And I realized that's a good, I mean, that is what practice is doing, right?
Boy, isn't that the truth?
I like that. I mean, we talk about wearing away the ego, but I like reduce me to love, you know. Really focuses on that, on the love, you know. And it fits so well into our theme about emptying the teacup. That's the reducing part. And I was looking at this morning about getting out of the conversation, dropping the conversation. And seeing that action, and I've got some examples, but that action as the process of love.
Mm-hmm. Would you say again what you saw of this?
So some examples of dropping the conversation.
Okay, yeah.
Where, you know, just we do this practice all the time, right? And then, for example, the two-handed recording. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel some tension in the body. It's like, I don't know what that is, but I'm not going to go up in the head to think about it. I'm turning on the recorder as a practical way to turn to life. Mm-hmm. You know, and then all kinds of things that couldn't have made up, you know, at least after a while, just start to come in.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other one is like using a mantra that I've been using. Mm-hmm. You know, just I hear that same karma start up,
yeah.
Go to the mantra,
yeah.
You know, exit the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then again, things come in. And what happens, I think what used to happen is, okay, so when I turn on the recorder, I do the mantra, then this will what will happen. Then this thing that I don't like to hear in my head will stop. Or I'll have this insight that will get me to see clearly how this, whatever, relationship karma is happening, and I won't have to do it anymore. And that's not it. That's all ego just plugging in, you know, the practice into its system again. It's just simply the action of turning to the recorder or going to the mantra and having the courage to step out of that conversation. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal. That's the reduced to love right there.
Yeah. That's great. Yes. It's the whole, it's back to, it's not the goal orientation that, you know, conditioned mind would want to shove it into, mm-hmm. you know, if I do this, well, I'll feel better or I'll get a desired result. But in that, just turning to the recorder, dropping the conversation at that moment, that is being reduced to love.
Mm-hmm.
Because one might say, in that moment, we're just reduced to what's authentic. You know,
yeah.
You're just there
uh-huh.
with that.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's great that in that moment that you drop it, there isn't any of those things that I wanted.
Uh-huh.
It's not nothing, you know, you didn't get the giant thing that you'll never have this whatever again, or, you know, it's really wonderful what you receive, which is love, but I love that it's not with what I thought I was
yeah.
going to get, or what I was trying to get from doing the practice,
yeah.
because then that would just sort of reinforce an I trying to get something.
Yeah, boy, you know, it's just, yeah, that whole thing that if we get this certain thing, then we'll be reduced. We'll have love,
yeah, right.
You know,
right.
And it's not, boy, it's such a smokescreen, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
It's not it. And to mm-hmm. just see that none of that is needed.
Yeah.
None of that is needed. And in a way, would you say it's just like choosing the salvation of the human being mm-hmm. in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, in that reaching for the recorder. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
What did the music say this month about... you know, that we're looking at what is when I isn't.
What is when I isn't.
And the only way to do that is to get out of the conversation.
Yeah.
And then what I love is, like, it's total adventure. We don't know. You know, we don't know what is
yeah.
until we get out of the conversation.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. Like, everything since day one, you know, coming on retreat to me is just the first time is, like, you know, practice just trying to even give the person a glimpse of what they are
yeah.
when they're not attending to
yeah.
that conversation.
Yeah.
Because, of course, if we really got it, we would not indulge those conversations at all.
Yeah.
You know, so, but for me, it's just like, now I'm really starting to feel that gratitude for any movement
uh-huh.
out of that conversation and letting go of any other sort of outcome. I'm just really seeing it as a process of love instead of, okay, well, now I'll be at a certain place of I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, there's something really joyous about that.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, so the thing, the practice, I don't know, that is all about is just to give us opportunity to glimpse what's so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what we have when that conversation is dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just feeling this immense gratitude for those opportunities to practice in that way. dropping, have everything you always wanted.
Yeah, yeah. My last example of that working out our salvation, I've been doing, well, one month I did tallying the drop every time something would drop in. Mm-hmm. And I noticed with that it didn't seem like there was a lot of marks, you know, but I could feel that, like, well, maybe this isn't the right practice, or maybe we should, mm-hmm. you know, those things. But I committed to 30 days. Uh-huh. And there was just, the thing I loved about that was just keep showing up. Okay, well, what do we need? Well, let's make a recording. Let's use a twist tie. Wow. And it's like the number of marks didn't necessarily even go up that much. But there was so much gratitude. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just that, again, that act of love, of who cares? Like, we're just showing up and giving it our all.
Yeah.
And it didn't really even matter after a while how many. I didn't have to listen to the conversation saying, well, you're not doing it right because you have four tallies.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know. I think it was the process of getting out of the conversation is really what was going on.
Yeah.
And then what's left is gratitude and love and joy.
That process of getting out of the conversation, and that there wasn't any not allowing that conversation that was taking score,
or, right,
you know,
right.
taking score of the tally, mm-hmm. you know, and to just say, no, we're not going there. I committed to this for 30 days.
Yeah.
And just doing, you know, the twist ties, all of it, just doing everything, and it didn't mm-hmm. necessarily change the, quote, you know, outcome, but just that joy of showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, showing up for this person, mm-hmm. showing up for the being, and, you know, giving it 100%.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the process is the outcome.
The process is the whole thing right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Can you turn that light on? Thank you. June.
In the email class, Sherry used the term unspeakable consequences with someone, in the sense of what will be the unspeakable consequences of not listening to voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately wrote on my giant chalkboard, about which we have all heard numerous times, you know, what will be the unspeakable consequences of not listening to the conversation and doing what the voices tell me to do? Just how horribly will I suffer? Just how miserable will my life become? And, but that's what I hear.
Yes.
Every day.
Yeah.
If you don't eat that, or go there, or do that.
Or if you do that,
Or if you, Oh, God, it's just, life will not be worth living.
Uh-huh.
And it's just, and I fall for it. Oh, my God, I fall for it. And and the hardest place to stay is in love with that at that point. You know, to from it we expand to love from that, where there, it's not wrong. And I think the most familiar place in my makeup is doing a thing that simultaneously I know I'm choosing and shouldn't be choosing.
So, having an awareness that while doing a thing that maybe there would be a different choice that might be more desirable, is that the sort of thing?
It's totally pseudo's in, but it's also, there's also an element of if you want to wake up in human suffering, this is not the direction in it. So, I don't know what else to say about that. That's just a very common experience. I will say, less common than it used to be. So, I'm going to get a little tappy for that. less loaded and charged than it used to be.
So you see that process continue, you know, it's a long time, what I hear you saying, a long time process of, it's just constantly having some input about what would lead toward suffering and what would lead away from suffering, and always reminding you that you're taking the wrong.
Yes, yeah. And we all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's choosing distraction. And you know you're doing it. Here you are choosing this, and you know you just, if you were the right person, basically is what it's saying, you would be meditating.
You would always be meditating. You'd always be eating the right things. You'd always be, there would never be any lapsing into being a human being. There would just be perfection.
So again, the place of practice for me for the last couple of years has been, and I'll say it again, to expand to that bigger perspective of love. Mm-hmm. And out of this little, I understand that Jesus reduced me to love. It means to take away all. I mean, I can see both of them as both ways of saying that as tantamount to the same thing.
Seeing that, and, you know, Jesus reduced me to love isn't, and in fact, this expansion into love. And I think what you're saying is that movement holds all of that, that judgment that I should be doing, you know, just getting into a place of bigger love.
Yeah.
Bigger love.
Every day, several times a day, I am aware of gratitude for that loving perspective.
Gratitude for that loving perspective that's big. That big loving perspective.
That where the I isn't.
Yeah. Boy, and just so it goes against that. I don't know. As a kid, I had that God that was keeping a little notebook. And well, you did this wrong, and you did that wrong, and that wrong, and you know that side of the notebook was just huge, you know. And it just creates a lot of stress. Just a lot of stress. And so just to move into that place that, you know, it's just way beyond that. That's, you know, can just hold it all as
that place where not only are there no mistakes, there can't be mistakes.
There can't be any mistakes.
It's just not how this is set up.
Yeah. No matter how hard we try, we can't mess it up. In that place. Thank you.
I've been saying something about distraction that I want to look at. I mean, it kind of goes with, you know, if we really saw what we are, we wouldn't entertain that for a second.
Yeah.
And it's this, like, growing intuition or experience that, so the conditioned story that I fall for is that I want distraction because I need to be distracted away from how awful this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the growing experience is that we're being distracted away from what we truly are.
Wow.
We're being distracted away from experiencing that we are the Buddha.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. We're just being distracted away from how wonderful we are and have, you know, the presence of the Buddha.
Yeah. And it happened just last night. I was recording about it. So there was, like, at the end of the day, this big, big energy that was, and there were stories running of, kind of judgment, assessment, external, internal, all of that kind of sloshing around in here. And a feeling of just being really monstrous, like a really kind of monstrous, vicious person. And a lot of like meaning, you know, a lot of meaning making going on. And there was just a pull to distract, just anything, anything to just numb. And that's the conditioned groove, right, to get number and number. And it's that like vicious cycle where we believe that that's us and that we want to get away from it. And the more we get away from it, the more we believe we really need to get away from it. And then we're just squashed and squashed and squashed and squashed. And so I picked up the recorder and just let the human, you know, vent. Just really, really let rip and listened and had an experience that I have every time I do that, which is hearing the human in there, hearing the authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And the experience is love. So she's being told that she's monstrous and hateful and awful and that she wants to be distracted and numbed. And we let her get it all out of the head and listen, and it's always, always an experience of love. And so, and that's what the distraction's away from, right? That authenticity, and it reminds me of, I think there was a line in the little clip from the film about Zen Master Dogen that we saw in the workshop that, you know, you have to learn to face the Buddha nature within. Right. It's just, and we have that tool to practice doing that. It's just amazing.
You have to learn to face the Buddha nature within. And it wouldn't seem like such a hard thing, would it? I mean, you know, it's like, well, gosh, yes, you know, but to just to be, have that experience of just being bombarded with information about, you know, how monstrous we are, and that, you know, and we'll do anything but have to sit with this monster. You know, any distraction, it's got to be better than, you know, spending time with just this horrible, vicious person.
Right.
And then in the recording, just, you know, wow, God bless the recorder. You know, just picking up the recorder and letting rip.
Yeah.
Let this monstrous person just go at it. And listening back to it and just having this experience of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow, that just puts a cog in the whole self-hating system, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
It really, really does. And it's just, I think we were talking about this in group on Thursday, right? That we're becoming the Buddha who can save the human.
Uh-huh.
It's like moving to that conscious, compassionate awareness, that unconditional, that nothing wrong, that, you know, and to just, to train to keep doing that, to keep making that movement. It reminds me of something you talked about in group, or a little story that Sherry told. It was something like, there's a meditator sitting in a cave, and they're sitting and they're meditating years and years and years, they're sitting in the little cave, and a big monster comes up to the mouth of the cave and peeks its head in. The meditator turns around and says, "Oh, welcome, come on in, you're exactly why I've been doing this, you know?" And it's just such a help when there's that, all of that ego identification, and it's telling us that that's what we really are underneath it all.
Yeah.
To pick up the recorder and actually hear what we are is just...
Wow. It's welcoming the monster into the cave.
Right.
It totally is. And it's also just... what an amazing insight to just even see that
describing the direct distraction is that wanting to get away from that person that it says we are.
Yeah.
You know, how often the distraction just goes on, unexamined, you know? Now, gotta do this, gotta do this, gotta do this, it feels good, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
And to just see what's driving that and make a different choice, wow.
Yeah, and as you're saying that, from just like having loads of glimpses of this human's experience before practice, where, you know, say like she'd be in work and have a meeting where something like that big energy came up, and there was that feeling of, oh God, just all of the conditioning that would push her to go more numb and numb and numb, and that would just last for, you know, she could spend a whole weekend like that after a meeting on a Friday, you know.
Yeah.
And instead, to just practice, like we say, short-circuiting. And, just amazing.
Yeah, we just don't have to go to bed anymore. We just have to pick up the recorder, you know, and step back into relationship with life.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing.
I've been sitting with a quote that was up a couple days ago from Sherry about, well, it was a question of, what is it about a life experience that makes it either suffering or practicing through?
Uh-huh.
And I've been watching how my experience has felt like it might be both. You know, that maybe that's, and maybe I still am learning about the difference between pain and suffering, but my experience has been that I'm practicing through, and there's still some suffering, which is I've never experienced before, because at home, when it's not such an intense fire burning place.
would you say there's more distractions?
Yes,
back to our earlier,
I think incinerator is the word that came to me. Another name for the monastery. And the good news is, and I want to claim it, is that I am a karma burning machine.
I am a karma burning machine.
I am still here. So now that
let's just take a moment. Let's just take a moment to let that in. I'm still here, and I'm a karma burning machine, and it's been intense. And I can see that I am learning, I am applying, practicing with those experiences that are painful and that are the cause of suffering. And I'm practicing through that.
I also want, well, I'm sorry, I have one other thing I wanted to share along the lines of the reducing ourselves to love and emptying the teacup. Yesterday during work session, we were pruning the trees, and it was this amazing process to watch of this tree that was full of dead leaves and old branches and lots of grass growing up, and then the Sangha transformed it into this beautiful, clear, clean, ready for new growth, ready for life, and it dropped in that that's what we're doing here, and that's me. So that was really a big gift. Out of the world.
So. No difference between the inside and the outside.
Yes.
You can see that pruning and that clearing away those dead leaves and those, you know, those old weeds and all of that. Just just to let the air flow through and let
being reduced down, emptying my teacup, ready for spring, for new life.
Yeah.
Or,
So
that's a lovely gift.
Krista.
Oh, I was actually just making gusho to being a karma burning machine.
another karma burning machine over here.
Yeah, we are all.
Yes.
I mean, if we want to be.
Right.
That's right. I just love that image.
Yeah, truly. And we sit here in the karma burning hall.
Yeah. Last year we had we had a thing where I feel like I'm going to say this all. It's going to be nothing like what the assignment was, but I'll just tell you my experience because I can't. But it was something like you choose to stop or choose to. What I chose anyway was to stop and sit. Uh-huh. Maybe it had to do with have a cup of tea. Uh-huh. To just sit and have a cup of tea or anyway. So
whatever it was, just stop and stop what you were doing.
And
make a different choice just to be.
Yeah. And it was a practice like for a week or a month or something, and it's become my practice for my life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in that stopping and sitting, then it's like I just wait. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to wait for a long time. But I just wait, I sit and I breathe and I count the breath and I relax and I... And then knowing comes. Whether the knowing is to just sit longer, or the thing that is the thing to do next. But, and sometimes, like I'll then go do the thing and then declare release, I have to go sit again. or does it like, okay, I can feel like the clarity got used up, kind of. and then you have to take a break and make the space for it to come back. And it's just, it feels like it's those things, like it reduces to love, because then the clarity is the love, or the love is the clarity.
Yeah.
Or it burns away the karma, because there's like this thing, like there's such a strong belief that like, somehow doing stuff's gonna make a difference.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's the solution. Do something.
Yeah.
And it feels like such a gift to have seen through that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It feels like a huge gift.
Yeah.
Because from what I hear you saying, it's like moving from that place of conditioned mind driving a person constantly with what's the next thing to do, to moving to a place of stopping, and how one does that, it can either be a cup of tea or just meditate or whatever it is, but I project what's happening in the stopping is a waiting for the next step from life.
Yeah.
Versus just always being a tool used by conditioning to just, power through a life. Mm. Yeah. And so, wow.
It's funny, I haven't been here a long time. I was ill for a very long time, which is why I wasn't here. And but because I'm practicing this all the time. Mm. I feel that I'm always here. Uh-huh. 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 Even though I haven't been to this space.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you say that you're feeling that connection to life all the time?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I know, like, that's the part we practice, right? Yeah. But then there's this voice like, well, you have to go there. But like, no, the reason we practice is to get right here. I'm here. That's the whole point. That you have it for yourself and then you do it.
Yeah. 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 So just feeling that connection that might say that, that connection to the heart, to life, that Sangha connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just love the three phrases of today, the karma burning machine and the reduced to love and well, maybe it's only two, wasn't there?
Reduce the love, karma burning machine, and love. Reduce the love. We already said that one. Oh well, it'll come back. Yeah. And I want to say too that that you described that, having that experience of being connected to life or Sangha and not having to be here in the hall. And being here in the hall gives us all the opportunity to share in the gifts that you've received and that what you brought to the hall this morning. You know,
that's such a good point, because it's so easy to, this is probably like this really subtle form of conditioning, and that it's so easy to forget that I am a contribution to the practice also. You know, I don't think, we don't think of that. I don't think of that, anyway. I don't know we, but me. Like, that my presence makes a difference to the group, even though other people's presence makes a difference. You know, it's bizarre.
It would be a whole different morning if we opened the hall this morning and everyone was not here. Because their presence didn't contribute to the...
Right. That's a nice... thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, it's essential part of the jewel.
Yeah, that in, you know, I think I really hadn't thought of that, like I'm aware of how my practice has, say, served the people in my world who don't have a practice, or not so much of one anyway, but I think I'm not aware, or I hadn't thought before now, of how my practice affects people that have a practice. In the way, like, I really hadn't, I haven't shown the light in that direction.
I'm just reminded of, you know, we're all a unique expression of the Buddha, and we're all seeing life from a different, through different Buddha eyes, you might say. And that we all get to bring what we're seeing.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
You know, one piece of karma that I see that's lessening is that I always forever, I mean, I have been practicing for 26 years. I started meditating when I was 26, I was 52. That's 26 years. If I didn't even do the math for you, but but there it is. You probably couldn't believe that I was 26.
Or that you're 52.
Ah, you're 26. But I think one of the pieces of karma about is that for such a long time, there's a belief that I never got anywhere.
Or a belief that we have to get somewhere yet.
Yeah. Like there was something that was always keeping me down. Like trying to get somewhere. I think that was it, like keeping me always trying to get somewhere, like I wasn't somewhere already. And that has shifted. So it's a great reminder in what you said to acknowledge in myself. I mean, it's not even acknowledge, it's like words that, these are not really words, you know, that I would say, but well, maybe it is a type of acknowledgement in itself, like to acknowledge being somewhere that supports the group who is also somewhere. I mean, I don't know how to say it. But you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I think so. That, you know, it's just, we have our unique contribution to the whole.
Very well stated. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I just want to look for a minute at an interesting thing that just happened in group this morning. So, I mean, it's literally, I think, a dark room, light room experience. So when we were first having group, the light wasn't on.
Literally.
And I wasn't.
Why do you think I have turned it on?
I wasn't having a really good experience here. And you, that light went on, and I changed like that.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not kidding. It was like night and day. Yeah. About what I was feeling before that went on, and as soon as it went on.
Uh-huh.
And I just think that this is explaining my entire life.
Say more about that.
Well, in a strange way, because so I'm sitting here in the dark, it felt sort of dark, but uh-huh. I wasn't really aware of a conversation.
Okay.
But
yes.
I think I was in a conversation.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was a conversation a lot like something's. I've been looking a lot at the word wrong. Uh-huh. What does wrong mean? And but it would be a subtle conversation about something's wrong. It's uh-huh. too dark.
Yeah.
I can't really focus. I can't, you know, it's mm-hmm. I can't really mm-hmm. see. And all these people are being so cheerful, and I don't understand why. Because I'm not, you know, that's not the experience I'm having. And it was all about, I mean, if you'd stopped and asked me what was going on, I wouldn't have been able to tell you.
Yeah.
But yet there was an experience of this isn't right. And I wasn't really here.
Mm-hmm.
And the light came on, and all of a sudden it was like, okay,
uh-huh.
I'm here.
Uh-huh.
Everything's all right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, and so what I see in that is, at least at the moment, I think it might, well, the things might drop in, is that, so there may be conditions in which this being feels, quote, uncomfortable or not right.
Yeah.
And when those things are happening, whether I hear it or not, I'm living in a story of something wrong.
Yeah.
And if I'm living in a story of something wrong, I doesn't like it. And there must be a way out or something, you know? And it's usually, anyway, yeah, and I think that's going on at a level that I'm not real aware of usually.
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm seeing is, so when the light went on, all that went away, and it's like, maybe this being just needs a little more light.
Uh-huh.
To, you know?
Yeah.
And is that, you know, it never occurs to me that, I don't know how to say that, it never occurs to me that I'm fine. I mean, it's been referred to before, but it's like something's wrong. So they haven't turned the light on, or they're talking about things that I don't can't or listen about.
Right.
You know, it's the problem is out there,
uh-huh.
and if we only fixed it,
then
I would be okay. But maybe I just work better in light. You know,
uh-huh.
you know, maybe I just don't have enough awareness to know. I don't want to analyze it too much, but it just felt like when that light went on, the being got something she needed that she didn't know she didn't have, and it made a difference.
Wow!
And she didn't know that it was something she needed. She just thought there was something wrong with the world. Something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was such a dramatic shift from,
wow,
I'm not here to, okay, I am.
So just having that experience of just being, what we use the term identify,
yeah.
You know, something's really wrong.
Right.
I don't understand, I'm not relating, when what I hear you saying, just feeling really separate from everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, just having a simple thing happen, like the light go on,
mm-hmm.
and just complete shift,
mm-hmm.
immediate, it sounds like, just an immediate shift,
yeah.
like, I'm here,
yeah.
I don't know what the problem was before, but it's like, suddenly,
right.
You know,
right.
And in that scene, and that, indeed, everything was always okay,
yes, right.
with this being, that
right.
there really never was anything to
right.
fix,
right.
that there was something needed.
Mm-hmm. Something that was
something that
wrong.
Was
yeah. or something that was not yes.
Yeah. So something that was available.
Yeah. But it's also one of the things that dropped in to me this morning, earlier in the morning, was because I've been looking at what does wrong mean? when the being's feeling something's wrong, or when there's a sense of something's not right. Now, what dropped in was it's when I'm in a less than perfect world.
Yeah.
Perfect in the sense of how conditioning would describe a perfect world. It's like something wrong means conditions aren't perfect as defined by what this being has come to believe is perfect.
Yeah.
So in the beginning of group, it was too dark.
Yeah.
It was not the perfect world. And I wasn't even aware of that. Mm-hmm. But when the light came on, I was back in what made me feel okay. Mm-hmm. So either literally or conditioning. I mean, I don't know at this point. Uh-huh. Is it something about the physical being that needs the light in order to be here?
Yeah.
Or is it just that I got what I wanted?
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Or just a complete change in, just kind of a shift in circumstances. And it seems to me, would you say that you're seeing that it was proof that there's nothing wrong because it was just such an immediate shift without ever having to change?
Right, nothing else changed except the
light. Nothing else changed except this, little switch was strong.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like, okay, so that switch happened without me making the switch. Mm-hmm. But I was aware of what happened when the switch was made. So the switch is always available.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it sounds like there's just a whole lot in there to sit with.
But it was just, I was really taken by how dramatic it was.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever quite experiencing something that immediate.
Catapulted right out of one experience into another, instantaneously, it sounds like.
Yeah.
More to be grateful for.
Right.
Thank you. Yes, Karen.
Yeah, then looking also at what makes the cup full and what makes the cup empty. Mm-hmm. And it's seeming like the cup is full whenever the being is identified with when the being is, when everything is referencing the being.
Uh-huh.
So basically, it's being identified with an orientation or, sub-personality or whatever. Because with that comes all the beliefs, assumptions, years of experience, that everything that happens from life gets filtered through.
Yeah. I just got this funny image. It's hard to have an empty teacup when we're sitting in the middle of it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I saw too. You can't put much tea in there before it starts overflowing because your big old self is there. Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's no way to experience life in any other way but the perspective that this person has learned to see everything with.
It's that filter again, huh?
And all those, there's so much that comes with any kind of an identification that precludes having a new experience, really.
Uh-huh. Yeah, boy.
Everything looks like how that person sees it.
Yeah, it makes a new experience impossible.
It's not a possibility.
Yeah.
So, I could just see how, and what makes a person have all that is listening to the voices tell them they have all that, because essentially, mm-hmm. that's all it is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it always keeps coming back to paying attention and not listening to the voices. Which always seems like, okay, I'm going to do that. It's like, wow, 70 years of listening to this and believing it's me. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
That's a way big challenge.
Yeah.
So, because the person, I think somebody else was saying this earlier too, the person has believed that those voices are herself talking to herself.
Yeah. I've never questioned that whole thing. That's got to be me.
Yeah. With all this years of practice, could that still be the case? Well, shockingly. Because, oh no, not going there. So that's, I mean, that it seems like for years and years and years and years and forever, you just keep getting to peel back what, it's like it's a papier-mâché thing, and you just keep getting to pull the pieces off, and what's underneath there is emptiness. And as you pull it apart, you kind of see, well, this isn't real. It never was real. It's just these strips of paper with glue stuck them together, and then they look like a monkey or a whatever you have made. Uh-huh. And I never saw that before. I don't know where that's coming from, that whole thing about paper mache. It just came out of my mouth. Whoa. I don't even know if it holds together, but anyway, it just came out.
Well, it is one of those just like an empty hollow, you know, with just all this external stuff that looks like it's something.
Right.
But as you pull it apart, you realize that it wasn't ever anything to begin with.
What I have seen is one of the main identifications with this condition being is a belief that she... a practice of isolating and keeping herself isolated. Mm-hmm. She's lived alone, so they how they call it, lived alone, lived by herself for most of her life. And feeling like that's just the way it has to be. You know, it's just too hard being with people, you know, communication and all that. It's just, oh, it's a mess. So you need to just, you know, have your own things your own way and da-da-da-da. And what I have seen is that is a whole perfect scheme for conditioning to get that human being that they're assigned to all to themselves and have a direct tube to feed from.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Have I been bamboozled?
And have we all? And it doesn't take living alone to be in that place. The person can be in a relationship their entire life and still be in isolation.
It's true,
and,
isn't
you know,
it?
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. It's nothing to do with, and that's how it works.
But yeah. Taking on a new activity that has actually required the human to venture forth into the world of interacting with lots of people has not only traumatize the person who believed she had to be alone. I mean, she couldn't do it for a whole year. She sat in a starting gate, licking her wounds and stuff. But it has shown so much of that conditioning.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Something has happened after a year of sitting in the starting gate and realizing, well, I can't quit. After a year, I committed to a year. I can't quit because I never started. Mm-hmm. So it's still true. Mm-hmm. This is something that's going to challenge that. Yeah. And so then there's been a movement. There's been a commitment to the activity and taking her little self out there. And something is shifting. And I can see that I've seen so much about how this is just a big belief system that... Mm-hmm. She has been bamboozled into feeling like it was a requirement for her to be that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just seeing the bamboozlement behind it—that you've got to stay isolated to be safe—and that she's
not good with people. They don't like her anyway. She's too serious, boring.
So now there's this wonderful opportunity to go up against all those beliefs.
Yeah.
And there's willingness to do it and to just watch the transformation that comes from that and to just go out there and go through those beliefs.
Yeah, and the conversation you were having earlier about being a contribution you know, she's always wanted to be a contribution more than anything. To just be participant, actually. Just be a participant. Yeah. Part of life.
Yeah.
And how that has been withheld from her on a deep level because of this whole system. It's just amazing.
I suspect that may be one of the key things that brings us all to practice. Just that wanting to be a participant.
Yes.
And wanting to be,
yeah. Yeah, yes. With it's all, exactly.
Yeah.
Wanting to,
Great. Thank you. Thank you all.